Right, you hear me? It's on. Okay, you can hear me now? How's everybody doing tonight, this evening? Let's see. Well, this evening I want to go over a story that most of y'all probably heard about, and it's I wanted to go over the life of Joseph in Genesis chapter 37. How many have read Joseph in chapter 37? 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, a couple of y'all have read it. Well, that's good. And see, Joseph is a unique character. He's like, in his life, he went through a lot of trials in his life. And one in the Bible would be, probably you can compare him with maybe Job. I mean, Job went through a lot of things in his life. And I want to take you through this story look at it and see how we can apply this today as we go through trials in our lives and the things that we go through. And that's what I want to do tonight. And let me open up with prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come before you, Father. And I thank you, Lord, for everyone that is here. I thank you for those that are not here and for Brian and his family that have traveled to go see his family. I pray that they would have a good visit and that you'd be with them as they travel back home safely. I pray for all the sick, the lost, Father, and for everything that's going on in the world right now, Father. I pray, Lord, that you would use me tonight, Lord, and that you would be glorified in this message, Father. And we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so Genesis chapter 37, we're going to go through the life of Joseph. And just a little background on Joseph. Joseph went through a lot of trials in his life from the beginning of when he was young. And when he has a couple brothers. He starts out at 17 years old. And Genesis 37, 3-4 says, "Now Israel," that's his father, "Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peacefully unto him." And when his and see this right here, I don't know if y'all know, but the Bible is showing that Israel, his dad, was older in age. And he had his children. And, you know, and as we go through this story, you can see more like his dad was probably at a very old age because he was retired, because he was not working the fields. He had his sons working the fields. And he was the youngest. And the Bible says that he loved him more than his brethren. And I want to go through that. It says right here in verse 18. Let me see. Yeah, in verse 12 through 17. "And his brethren envied him." Well, let me reverse for a second. He had made him. Let me see. I'm losing my spot. 12. It says, right, "And his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shem. And Israel said unto Joseph, Do not thy brethren feed the flocks in Shem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said unto him, Here I am. And he said to him, Go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren, and well so with the flocks. And bring me word again. So he sent him out of the veil to Hebron, and he came to Shem." So right here, his dad is sending him, 17-year-old Joseph. He's going out. He's doing what his dad said. He said, "Hey, go check on your brethren. Go check on the flock." And he had gave his I didn't read it, but Joseph, his dad had gave him a coat of many colors. He loved him. He was young, and I would say maybe his dad made him. And, you know, a coat of many colors would mean like you have children, and as the children grow, they get hand-me-downs. And they probably out thinking that maybe he took a couple garments from the other clothes and hemmed it together and gave it to his son. And it says that his brothers, they hated him, and they couldn't speak to him peacefully. But his dad sent him to go see his brothers, and he's going, and his brothers, they couldn't speak to him well because they were jealous of him. And in Genesis 37, verse 18, it says right here, and when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. They were jealous of him. They see him coming, and they're probably saying, you know, they're conspiring to slay him and kill him. And it says right here in verse 23, and it came to pass. We're going to fast forward. It's a long story, and we're going to fast forward through the life of Joseph. And it came to pass, verse 23, when Joseph was coming to his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him. And they took him and cast him into a pit. The pit was empty. There was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread. And they lifted up their eyes and looked. And behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead, and their camels bearing spices and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. Let me see. Verse 28. To Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh, and his brethren were content. And there passed by merchants, Midianites, merchantmen, and they drew and lifted him up out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. See, his brothers should have protected him. These are the brothers that should have taken care of him, should have been watching over him, should have protected him from things. Instead, these brothers conspire to kill him. But Judah said, you know what, let's not kill him, we'll sell him. What profit is if we kill him? See, some of us have gone through great trials in our life, but I bet you none of us has ever had our brothers or sisters try to kill us or sell us into slavery. I mean, if this was all that we had, we could say, man, he went through a real rough trial in life. I mean, he's now been taken from his dad, who he loved. His brothers conspired against him to kill him and slay him. They threw him in a pit, and they're just sitting there eating, and here comes merchants, and they sell him, and he goes into Egypt. And, you know, if this was it, we could say, man, this is a pretty rough thing, but it gets worse. And verse 36, and the Midianites sold him into Egypt unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh and a captain of the guard. So he's going into Egypt. He's sold to Potiphar, and Potiphar is a captain of the guard. He's in charge of the guards. And so now he's going into slavery. And verse 37, it says, let's see. Hold on, verse 37, 7 through 9. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused. And he said unto his master's wife, behold, my master writeth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. And there is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? See, he's He's been sold into slavery, and Potiphar's wife has asked him to lie with him. And you know what? He could have done that. He could have done that, and probably nobody would have known. But look what he said. Let's look what he says. He says right here, "How can I do this wickedness and sin against God?" See, sometimes the sins we do, we think it's a sin against man, but it's a sin against God. And he knew that. He knew that, you know, this was a sin against God. If I do this thing, God would see. God will see. And look what it says in verse 10. "And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her, to lie by her or to be with her." Day by day, she's there trying to get him to sleep with her. And look what it says. "And it came to pass about the time that Joseph went in the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house therein." See, that right there is where he made a mistake. He went into the house with nobody there, and right there, that's a mistake that he had made. And look what it says in verse 12. "And she caught him by his garment, saying, 'Lie with me.' And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out." See, in 1 Corinthians, it says, "Flee fornication." And that's what flee means. I mean, he just literally ran out of there. He got out of there. Verse 39. It was 1 Corinthians 6:18. It says, "Flee fornication." And so he left out of there, and he left his garment in her hand and was fled forth. "That she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, 'See, he hath brought in a Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice.'" Now she's lying, okay? That didn't happen. He didn't do nothing wrong. He fled, and she's, see, and that's what as believers we should always be careful. That's why it talks about pastors being blameless. You know, don't if young people, or if you're not married and you're married, you're with a woman or with someone, don't. That right there is a point where we should watch out, not to be alone, because you can be blamed, or you can be an accusation can come against you. You can be accused. And what he did is he set himself up, and he put himself in a position where he can be accused. And in Genesis 39:19-20, it says right here, "And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, 'After this manner did thy servant to me,' that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison and place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in the prison, but the Lord, he was there in the prison." Now go down to, so they took him to prison. He was in the prison. Verse 40, 1 through 5. "And it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt, the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was wroth against the two of his officers, against the chiefs of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. And he put them in the ward in the house of the captain of guard into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them. And they continued for a season in the ward, and they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream, and the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in prison." verse 8. And they said unto him, we have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. Tell me, I pray you. And the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, in my dream, behold, a vine was before me. And in the vine there was three branches. And it was as though it budded, and their blossoms shot forth, and the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in his hand, and he took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and gave the cup unto Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph said unto him, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee unto thy place, and thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand, and after the former manner when thou was a butler. So he's there and he's in prison. And the butler and the baker have had a dream. And he gives the interpretation of the first dream. And he tells them, in 3 days you'll be restored. He's helped them. He didn't have to help them. And he's helped them. He told them the dream. He told them what it is. And so now he says, but think on me when it shall be well with thee. And show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh. And bring me out of this house, for I indeed was stolen away from the land of the Hebrews. And here also have I done nothing that they should put me into this dungeon. He's pleading with the butler. He says, I'm not from here. I was taken from my brothers. They captured me. When I was only doing the will of my father. I was checking on them, and they caught me and sold me. I was lied about by Potiphar's wicked wife. He is thinking, get this in your mind. He's young. He's 17 years old. He loves his dad. His dad sent him to go check on his brothers. He's going out to check on his brothers, and they capture him. They got him. They bind him, and they threw him in a pit. And then they sell him. And then he becomes a servant. He's sold into Egypt, and Potiphar gets him. And he's there in the prison, and he meets the baker and the butler. And he helps them when he didn't have to help them. He helps them, and he's telling them, think on me. You know what he was thinking? I bet you he was thinking, you know what? There's been few people that have been kind to me. There's been few people that have thought of me. And if anything, he tells them, if anything, you know what? Just think on me when it is well with you. Just mention me to Pharaoh. And see, get that in your mind. He's 17 year old. He's gone. He's been sold into slavery. He's in prison, and he helped the butler and the baker. And the baker has a dream also. But in his interpretation, with 3 days, he was going to be hung, and he's going to be restored. And he tells him, think on me, mention me, don't forget about me. Don't leave me. And look what it says in verse 40:23. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. See, he was there in prison. And it says right here, and it came to pass at the end of 2 full years. And you know, some people say, well, you know what? That ain't it that big of a trial. 2 years in prison. And Joseph done nothing wrong. He's there, and he played it with the butler. You know, think on me. And I'm sure he told him everything that happened. Said, I'm not from here. I was stolen. I've been this and that. And he forgot him. How many of y'all have done something? You went out of your way to help somebody, and you don't got to pay me nothing. You don't owe me nothing. Just, you know, just remember me when it is good with you, or when I need help, just help me. And how many times have somebody's forgot us? Have left us hanging. Had never come and helped us when we helped them. Well, I tell you this: this is what's going on with Joseph. And I wonder how I mean, for me, I'm a very impatient person. And like 2 years in prison, I would, I'd be like, man, every time I heard him them coming down, I said, man, maybe he mentioned me. Maybe they're coming. Maybe they're going to let me out. 2 whole years he was in prison. And, you know, the butler forgot him. But let's go fast forward to the end. Genesis 50. Genesis 50, 15 through 19. Well, I'm going to come back to it, but look what happens. And when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said unto Joseph, "We peradventure he'll hate us, and he will certainly requite us of all the evil which we did unto him." And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying that thy father did command before he died, saying, "So shall ye say unto Joseph, Forgive, I pray thee now, the trespasses of my brother and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now will we pray thee, forgive the trespasses of the servants of God of thy father." And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face. And they said, "Behold, we be thy servants." And see, what's happening here is they're saying, well, their father died. And they're kind of saying, you know what? Well, now that father's dead, maybe now he's going to get revenge on us. Maybe now he's going to kill us. And he says, you know, in so many words, well, father said when you were supposed to forgive us. Well, look what it says right here in verse 19. Joseph said unto them, "Fear not, for I am in the place of God." Hold on. "For I am not in the place of God." See, he had a right, he knew that he wasn't in the place of God. Look what it says. "But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive." And see, he says, "But as for you," the people that his brothers, the people that should have protected him, the people that should have helped him, the brothers that should have looked out for him, he says, "But as for you, what you did for evil, God did it for good." See, Joseph understood that God had a plan. He understood who God is and who God was. He understood where he was at. And, you know, and you can say, well, what can we learn from this? Well, let's look at Genesis 37, 6, 11. 37, 6. See, Joseph knew, because in the beginning, he went through these trials. And in Genesis 37, I know I'm bouncing back and forth, but I want to show y'all something. Look what it says in Genesis 37, 6. He knew from the beginning that God had a plan. He knew there was a plan, and I didn't tell y'all the dreams in the beginning, but look what it says in Genesis 37, 6 through 11. "And he said unto them, Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaves arose and also stood upright, and behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaves." That means they bowed themselves. "And his brethren said unto him, Shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words." Let's see. And see, he may not have seen it clearly, but he believed it by faith and knew that God was with him. See, he understood from the beginning. He had a dream, and he had another dream. It says right here in verse 9, Yet he dreamed another dream, and told it to his brethren, and said, Behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him, and said unto him, What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come and bow down ourselves unto thee? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the sayings. See, he knew from the beginning that God had a plan. He may not have seen it clearly. He may not have understood it. But remember, he interpreted some dreams, and he knew that God had a plan for him. And Genesis 39, 2 through 5 says right here. 39, 2 and 5. See, and he knew that God had a plan, and the Lord was with him. And let me show you where, through all these things he went through, the Lord was with him. Look what it says in verse 2, 39, verse 2. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. And he made him overseer over his house and all that he had, and he put into his hand. See, Joseph, he had the right. The Lord was with him. The Lord was with him as he served Potiphar, and made everything prosper in his hand. Look also in Genesis 39, 21 and 23. But the Lord was with Joseph, and showed him mercy, and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison, and the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hands all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. See, Joseph, he had the right attitude. The Lord was with him in all these things. See, some of us, we go through a trial, or we go through things, and we don't understand why we're going through these things, or what the Lord's with us. But look. So what can you can say, Brother Josh, what can we learn from all this? What is this right here? So I got 3 points that the Lord will be with you. If God has a plan, God may not take us around the trial, but he will take us through the trial. See, with Joseph, they wanted to kill him, but they didn't. They sold him into slavery. And then he was lied about and put into prison. But the Lord was with him. See, someday someone is going to lie about you. Someday someone may stab you in the back. Someday someone might forget about you. Someday you may go through these trials. Right now you may not be going through trials. You may not be going through things. But remember this story. When you're going through things, that the Lord was with Joseph. And the Lord can be with each one of you. If God has a plan, the Lord was with him. So that's the first thing you can learn from that the Lord was with Joseph in all in slavery, and he was with him when he was in prison. And here's another one. Here's number two, what we can learn from it. Every trial in your life is a stepping stone in the direction that God needs you to go, a direction you may have not gone. You know, I think about that. I think about some things in my life and like some trials that I had. And you know, some of y'all I met when I was like going through something, and it was like God put me in a certain spot at a certain time, and I could have refused not to go, but I went, and every trial was a stepping stone, getting me closer to where I needed to go, just like with Joseph. And you know, and every trial is a stepping stone for him. See, here's what we know. There was a famine, and it was coming. Let me show you in Genesis 41. But we didn't go over that. There was a famine. It was coming. And in Genesis 41:29, Pharaoh had dreamed a dream. He had dreamed two dreams. And the butler was restored, and he had forgotten him for 2 years, right? He forgot him for 2 years, and then Pharaoh had a dream. And he tried to get everybody to come interpret it, and the butler remembered, hey, I remember this guy in prison, Joseph. He interpreted my dream. And he gets Joseph to come and interpret it for Pharaoh, and he gives him the interpretation. And right here in Genesis 41:29, he says right here, behold, there come, and I'm not going to go through the dream, but behold, there came 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt. And there shall arise after them 7 years of famine. And all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine shall consume the land. His dream was that in 7 years, you're going to have good harvest. In 7 years, there will be a famine that hits the earth. And God needed to get Joseph into Egypt so that he can help much people. That's why it said in the end, he said that y'all meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And God was putting Joseph in steps to get him to where he needed. And I put right here, and God needed to rescue the people of Israel, and God needed Joseph to be second in the command to prepare for the famine and save much people's lives. So every trial in his life was one step getting him there. Look what it says in verse 40, chapter 40, 44. 40 through 44, I'm sorry. Chapter 41, 40 through 44. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. This is Pharaoh talking to Joseph. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, and put a gold chain around his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, and bowed the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or his foot in all the land of Egypt. See, God needed to get Joseph to there. See, if Joseph's brothers wouldn't have sold him into slavery, he would have never went in Egypt. He would have stayed with his dad, who he loved, in Canaan. And he would have never went that way. Look what it says in Genesis 39. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer, Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, the Egyptian, brought him out of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down hither. See, God had made a way to get him into Egypt. And in Genesis 40:1-3, and it came to pass that after these things, that the butler and the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt, and Pharaoh was wroth against the two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief bakers. And he put them in the ward in the house of the captain of the guard into the prison where the place where Joseph was bound. See, Joseph was put in prison, but not just any prison. See, Joseph, you know, we got different prisons today. We got federal prisons, we got state prisons, we got military prisons, we got all kinds of different prisons. Joseph was put in a special prison. He was put in a prison where the king's, it says where the, he was put in a prison where the king's prisoners were bound. See, if he would have got sold to anywhere else, or he would have got, if he wouldn't have got put by God by Potiphar, because Potiphar was a captain of the guard. And if he wouldn't have been lied to by his wife, he wouldn't have been put on that special prison. And right here it shows that God needed to get him into that prison. And then when he put him in the prison, then later come the butler and the baker. And the butler and the baker are in the prison where the king's prisoners were bound. See, verse 40, chapter 40, verse 1 and 3, I was reading it. It talks about if he wouldn't have went in there where that prison was, he wouldn't have been able to be there at a certain time. See, every trial was directed by God to get him where he needed to be. Everything where he needed to go. And see, another thing that is important in this is your attitude, how you go through trials. See, sometimes we go through trials with a bad attitude. And if you go through trials with a bad attitude, you have failed because you have showed people you have not trusted in God. You are showing people that you're not believing in God. And Joseph, not Joseph, he had a good attitude. And you say, well, how do you have a good attitude? Well, I'll prove it to you. I'll show you how he had a good attitude in everything he did. Look what it says right here. Go to Genesis 39. Genesis chapter 39, verse 4 through 6. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put in his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer of the house and over all that he had, and the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Potiphar's sake, and the blessings of the Lord were upon all that he had in the house, in the field. See, how do you find favor? By being liked. The Bible says that he found favor in the eyes of Potiphar. And everything that he got put in charge of everything that Potiphar had because he had a good attitude. And the Lord blessed him. And even the Bible even says that Potiphar knew that he was blessed because of, you know, he was increased with everything. So he had a good attitude when he was in slavery. Now let's look, did he have a good attitude when he was in prison? Well, let's look. 39, chapter 39, verse 21. 39:21. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did, he was the doer of it. See, that, well, you know what we'd call that today? Trustees. He was like a trustee because they put him in charge of the prisoners. And he was there in charge of the prisoners. See, he had a good attitude because he was, the Bible says that the keeper of the prison put everything in charge of him, and he had charge over the prisoners. And let's see. And verse 6 and 7, look what it says in verse 6 and 7. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning and looked upon them. And behold, they were sad. That's the butler and the baker. Look what it says. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of the Lord's house, saying, Wherefore look ye so sad today? And they said unto him, well, we've dreamed a dream, and there's no interpreter. See, Joseph went in, he went into the prison, he's like, he didn't go in, what's wrong with you? Why are you all sad? Oh, he went in there like, what's up, guys? Why are you so sad? What's going on? Why are you so sad today? He had a good attitude, and that attitude led him, because if he would have went in with a bad attitude, the baker and the butler would not have shared with him the dreams that he had. He would have not been overseeing over the prison. It's like the trustees today. Everything he did, the Bible says he was a doer of it. Everything in the prison. He had a good attitude. If you want to get a promotion in your job, what do? Have a good attitude. Don't be always negative. Oh man, if I run this place, if I did that, I hear so many people say that. See, he had a good attitude. Having a good attitude in the trials you go through will take you a long way. And he had a good attitude, and he was blessed when he was in slavery. Potiphar put him over everything. When he was in the prison, they made him he was a trustee. And since he had over those prisoners that came in with him, he was able to help. Hey guys, why you look so sad today? And as well, because we had a dream. And see, that right there opened the door for him. See, a good attitude that'll allow him to interpret the dreams. Having a good attitude in trials is a stepping stone in the direction that God wants you to go. See, if you, and some of y'all must say, well, I've went through trials. I've went through things. But if you went through them with a bad attitude, you failed. Because maybe God was trying to open a door for you that you shut. Maybe God was trying to get you somewhere. See, right now, there may be some people going through sickness, might be going through trials in their finances, might be going through trials with their family against each other, might be having people in the hospital, you might be sick, you might be going through something. And God might be trying to put you in a certain place where He can use you to witness to somebody. And your attitude can shut the door on how you go through these trials. Let me show you another. I'll show you one, an example in the New Testament. Now go to Acts 16. Y'all know the story. This is two missionaries. It was Paul and Silas. We'll start at 16:20. And brought them to the magistrate, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. 22. And the multitude rose up together against them. And the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, cast them into the prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. See, what's happening is Paul and Silas are missionaries. And they're planting churches. And they're going out. And what's happened? They're being beaten and many stripes. And they're put in prison. And you know, maybe today, if you got put in prison, how would you react? How would you go through? Would you keep a good attitude through it? I'll tell you, Paul and Silas did. Look what it says in 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, and so that the foundations of the prisons were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosened. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep and seeing the prisoners' doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. And he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must we do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." See, Paul had a good attitude. He wasn't mad. How did he respond? They were singing praises to the Lord and praying. And you know what I think of this? You know what? If Paul would have not gone to prison, would the Philippian jailer got saved? See, I think now God may have needed to get him into the prison so the Philippian jailer could have gotten saved. And by Paul going through that trial, and he went through it with a good attitude, and he was singing praises and praying, and the jailer saw. See, they could have fled when the doors opened. They could have fled and left, but they didn't. They stayed, and they sang praises, and the Philippian jailer got saved. Why? Because the trial he was going through, God needed to get him to the Philippian jailer. Otherwise, maybe the Philippian jailer may not get saved. And I look at that and I say, man, that's pretty neat. You know, God, if he would have went in there with a bad attitude, I know if I would have went to prison for doing that, I would have been mad, I probably would have had a face like some of y'all have, being all mad. You know, why am I here? I'm doing the work for you, God. I'm preaching your gospel. I'm going out to the world, and I'm telling people, and this is how you treat me. You're putting me in prison, and I'm going through it. No, Paul didn't come like Paul and Silas weren't with a bad attitude. They were singing praises, and they were glorifying God. And through that, the Philippian jailer was able to be saved. And he and the Bible says him and his whole house. So if God has a plan for you in your life, then God's working on the other side. God is trying to get you to where he needs you to go. And as I was coming up with this this study, I thought about Jeanette, and then I was thinking about Michelle. Because you know what? When I met them, I had a decision to make. When I went and met Michelle, and I could have said, no, I'm not going to go. And you know what? I was like, wow. And then with Jeanette, see, Jeanette was going through a trial too. And I was seeing that. I was like, man, you know, and I was thinking of all the times and the things I've gone through. And sometimes the Lord is trying to open a door to get you where he needs you to go. But if you don't go through it with a good attitude, He might not get you there. And, you know, look what it says right here. See, and sometimes, you know, and waiting time does not have to be wasted time. Remember when Joseph was in prison, he got forgotten for 2 years. Sometimes there's people that are going through a sickness or a time in their life where they're just in, like, surgeries or finances, and you're like, what is coming on the other side? It doesn't have to be wasted time. You can go through it knowing that God will be with you. Doesn't the Bible say, for he will never leave you nor forsake you? And I was thinking about, man, that, you know, wow. And Paul says it, he says something like that in Romans. He says it in Romans chapter 8. He says, you don't have to go there, but I'll read it. It says right here in Romans chapter 8. It says, verse 28. For we know. See, he didn't say, he says, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. See, he didn't say all things were good. He said, we know that God can work everything out for the good according to those that he has called for his purpose. And we have to, when we go through a trial, when we go through something, how are we going through it? You say, so the things you can look, when you go through a trial, you go through it with a good attitude. You realize that every trial is a stepping stone that God needs you to go through. And the other one was, God, the Lord will be with you. The Lord was with Joseph when he was sold in slavery. The Lord was with him when he was a prisoner. The Lord was with Joseph when he interpreted Pharaoh's dreams. The Lord was with Joseph when they were preparing for the famine. They had 7 years to prepare for it, and 7 years of famine. And he needed a man that Pharaoh gave him second in command. See, every trial in his life was getting him to where God needed to get him. And that's why they said, Joseph told his brothers, what y'all meant for evil, God meant it for good. So tonight, if any of y'all are going through a trial in your life, or you can't understand why is it taking so long, remember, waiting time does not have to be wasted time. You don't have to. You can just respond. See, just like Job. Job went to he realized was just how to respond. See, God is God and we're man. And the one that is made cannot respond to the maker and say, why did these things happen? What we need to realize is just respond by prayer and thanksgiving, and by knowing that God will be us in it and through it in everything we go through. And I just want to tell y'all today, you know, if you're going through something, this can be a good example. This is, the Bible says that it was written for our admonition, for us to look at and to see and to know how the things we can learn from these stories. And in this story, you can learn that God was getting a man where he needed to get him, and he went through trials and he went through tribulation, but he went through it with a good attitude. And when he went through it with a good attitude, God blessed him. And today, I don't know what nobody's going through. I don't know what we're going through or what we're thinking or what's on our mind right now as we're here in church. But I want you to know this. The Lord is with you. The Bible says he will never leave you. And he will never forsake you. And that's all I got. Thank you all. Oh, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you, Father, and I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to get up here and to go through the Bible and just show how good you are, Father. How you will never leave us, you will never forsake us, and you will bless us and to get us where we need to go if we respond right, Father. If we know that you are with us, if we know that you will trying to get us to where you want us to go, that we need to learn to respond in the way you want us to respond so you can get us where we need to go. And Father, I just thank you for everyone that is here. And again, I pray for those that are out, that are sick. And I love you, Lord, and I thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.